And it's another political afternoon right here on Meet Me at the Diner. Today we have Ben Sheely with us. He wants to be the solicitor for the Eighth Circuit. He, of course, is in a primary coming up on the 12th of June. So we want you to know all the candidates. As I like to say, there's lots of signs out there, but do you know who you're voting for? So I want you to know who you're voting for. So, Ben Sheely, welcome to the show today.
Well, thank you for having me here. It's wonderful to be here.
Absolutely. Now, I understand that you actually were working in the solicitor's office, actually before Jerry Peace actually came on board.
I did. I worked with Towns Jones, and I was there probably about 6 months before Jerry came to the office. At that time, I was, I don't want to say stationed, for lack of better terms, over in the Newberry office. I was there stationed as the day-to-day attorney in the Newberry office, and Jerry came in, like I say, about 6 to 7 months after I initially joined the office.
Okay. And had you worked before, or was this like a first job?
I had worked before with Frank Partridge. It's a small firm in Newberry. Frank was a solo practitioner, primarily doing family law. So I joined his office, and I was with Frank, I think, probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years before I joined the solicitor's office.
What made you want to get into the solicitor's office?
Well,
Most people do it the other way, don't they?
Right. True. I had always wanted to be a prosecutor, and I'd actually put in an application with Towns prior to going to work with Mr. Partridge. And after I'd been there about a year and a half, I got a phone call and said, "Well, you know, do you want to come work for us?" And I said, "Sure. When can I start?" So I came over and began work for them probably a month and a half after I got that call from the solicitor's office.
Now, the solicitor's office hires a lot of young attorneys, and it's a good ground, I guess we could say, to getting lots of experience with cases and whatnot.
Well, a lot of attorneys, that's why they want to come to the solicitor's office, because they say, gosh, that's a place I can go. I can learn to try cases, get my feet wet in the courtroom, and not feel the pressure maybe of a larger law firm that's saying, guess what, you got to give us 3,000 hours a year, you got to be billing certain amounts. This gives them the ability to come into an office, able to try cases, learn how the courtroom system is really works, getting that practical experience as opposed to what they had in law school, and getting to know the court personnel, which is a very, very large part of being an attorney. Know all those court personnel.
Now, one of the things I understand about working in the solicitor's office, though, the pay isn't great.
Well, the pay's not bad. I mean, you're not going to make
as a new attorney coming out, you're not going to make a lot of money, but you're going to get a lot of experience.
Right.
But you also have a lot of cases to work with.
You do. It seems like I was talking to somebody recently. They said, seems like you get rid of some cases, and you get rid of 10 cases, and you get 15 in behind it. And that becomes, if you're there for very long, it almost becomes stressful. It's like, what am I doing here? I just moved this number of cases, and they're giving me more cases right behind it. You do handle a large volume of cases, and I think sometimes those numbers are a little bit skewed, because we may have one individual come in with 40 cases. Well, obviously, we're only dealing with one individual. So even though there's 40 cases that person's involved with,
there might be 40 victims.
Yeah, I think the one that comes to my mind, where we had, I think, 40 cases on one individual was when I was in Abbeville County, and a bunch of churches were getting broken into over there.
I remember that. Yep.
And the guy literally had that many cases, or that many charges against him. They involved not only the burglary, but malicious injury to the churches themselves. So there's one guy, 40 cases, and you say, wow, it looks sometimes a little bit worse than it is.
Yeah. So how did you find working in the solicitor's office? You worked in the solicitor's office in Newberry. You also, didn't you work in Greenville? Is that what you were telling me?
I did.
Were in the solicitor's office in Greenville.
I did.
You were over there in Abbeville. Any other solicitor's offices you worked in?
I only worked in the 8th Circuit and the 13th Circuit. When I was with the 8th Circuit, I got to the point when both my stints, because I worked twice in the 8th Circuit, I ended up working in three out of the four counties. I never was in the courtroom in Greenwood County. I was had my office when I was the deputy solicitor over in Abbeville. My office was in Greenwood County, so I would go over there and do pleas or bond hearings, such as that kind of things that we brought over from Abbeville County that people wanted to deal with in Greenwood. And so I'd be over there occasionally, but I was never constantly in Greenwood County.
Now, in the 13th District, that is Greenville, is that right?
That's Greenville and Pickens County.
Okay, so you were in Greenville and Pickens too? Or?
No, I was in Greenville for about a year and was in Pickens for about a year. So.
Well, how'd you find that now?
Well, you know, Greenville is
a horse
of a
one.
Different color.
Absolutely.
And I think we, when I was there, and I haven't tracked the number since then, I think we handled the office about 9,000 cases, 10,000 cases on the docket. You switch over to Pickens County, and that becomes more akin to Newberry or an Abbeville, at a little more than those counties, probably, you know, 1,200 cases on the docket. Generally, Newberry and Abbeville carry 600 to 700 cases on their dockets. So it's a different world up in the 13th
Circuit. Where did you like the best? Where did you like the best?
Well, I found the 8th Circuit, I think, the best, because in the 13th Circuit, you almost get lost. When I was up there, I think they had 40 attorneys. With those 40 attorneys, you generally had two or three staff members under each attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine the sheer size of that office. And it got to the point where you didn't know everybody. You may see them in passing, and you may know what division they worked in, whether they were drug prosecutors or white-collar crime prosecutors mm-hmm. or general prosecutors. But it, by the same token, you really didn't develop any relationships with a lot of the other attorneys. In the 8th Circuit, office is small enough where you can develop a relationship with not only the other attorneys, but also the staff.
Sure. So now you want to come back here to the 8th Circuit. Where do you actually live?
I live in Newberry. I live in a house that my parents owned for a number of years. They decided to build a house out on Lake Murray and move from that house, and because of the real estate market, we're unable to sell that house. So I moved into that house, and I set up shop there, and I'm about 2.5 minutes from the office.
And you have a private practice?
We do. The office is Zimmerman and Shealy. My law partner is Mindy Zimmerman. Mindy was with the solicitor's office in Newberry and Lawrence for, I think, probably 3 to 4 years. I can't remember exactly how many years Mindy was with the solicitor's office, but she primarily prosecuted drug cases. In the last year over in Newberry, she ran the day-to-day operations of the Newberry office, although Jack Hammock, who was a deputy solicitor in Lawrence and Newberry, was technically the overseer of that office. Mindy ran the day-to-day
office. So she actually worked for Jerry Peace, too?
She did.
Yep.
She did.
Okay. All right. So then y'all went out and formed your own partnership
we
here.
Did.
Yeah.
We have been very fortunate. We
both knew all the criminals already over there. No.
Well, it's like I tell a lot of the criminals when I see them, if they came into the courtroom and I could call them by their name, they had a problem.
Yeah, they had a problem.
I had
but now you're defending those criminals, right?
Well, you know, we defend a few. We work on appointed cases.
Mm-hmm.
We let the state know that we would be willing to accept appointed cases, conflict cases that come out of the public defender's office. We have handled criminal cases all over the upstate, Greenville County, Pickens County, Cherokee County, Lawrence, Newberry, Saluda, Greenwood. I think we may have had one or two in Abbeville also. So we've handled them all over the upstate. And when I say we, I mean our firm. We have two other individuals in our office. We have Patricia Boland. Patricia was with the solicitor's office for a number of years also, and she handled violence against women cases. When Patricia had her second daughter, she was looking for some part-time work and was unable to find it with the solicitor's office, called us up, said, you know, can I come to work with y'all on a part-time basis? We said, sure, we'll set you up something. And so Patricia also has knowledge of the 8th Circuit solicitor's office, having worked there. And so with the three of us having formed prosecutorial experience, we've handled a good bit of criminal defense work.
Now, I just need to ask you this question. Should you become solicitor, would you be bringing these women back on?
Well, I tell you what, I don't think that they really want to come back.
Okay.
I know
all right,
that,
just checking here
I,
now.
You know, a lot of people joked about that and said, my goodness, well, you came out of the solicitor's office. If Ben gets elected solicitor. Mindy, are you going to go over there and be the, you know, the chief deputy solicitor or what? And Mindy has made it very clear to me and very clear to other people that, no, she's very happy where she's at. She's very happy with the law firm and the way it is going, and she doesn't intend to go back in the solicitor's office. Patricia, I don't think she'd want to come back either, to be perfectly honest with you. I think she enjoys doing the work she's doing. She does. Okay. Actually, a lot of Department of Social Services work for us. Our firm has the DSS contract in Newberry County. I did it for the first few years that we were in practice as our firm, and when we brought Patricia on, one of the things we told Patricia was, guess what, you get the DSS contract. And she has done a phenomenal job with the DSS contract. Last week we were down in Columbia talking to the general counsel, and we got some good praise from general counsel for the work that Patricia's done there. And I think Patricia, in doing her defense work as well as the DSS work, kind of has a little niche that she likes. And I think she's probably going to stay
well,
right there.
I just thought I'd ask, since you had corralled all these Eighth Circuit attorneys into one office here.
Well, you're certainly not the first.
Okay, all right. Well, now, what about your wife? And now you said you live there, but your wife actually is a Lutheran.
She's a Lutheran minister.
Okay.
Yes, she is. Has a church up in Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
So I typically leave the office on Friday afternoon and spend the weekend up in Easley where the family is. Then I come back on Monday morning. I come back to the office. And I'm there for the majority of the week, and then I go back. And we've certainly, you know, I have a son who is in school right now. We didn't want to yank him out of school in the middle of the school
year. So will they
year.
Be moving, if you should move, get this office here, they will be moving? Or?
Well, yeah, certainly if I'm elected solicitor, they'll be joining me. We've looked around Greenwood. We've looked around the circuit. We will probably either end up in 96 or Newberry. I think we'll probably end up in Newberry for the first little while we either search for the house.
That house is for sale, yes.
Right,
okay.
Right. We'll either search for a house or we'll build a house. I've always wanted to build a house, and I know everybody says it's very, very stressful to build a house.
But particularly because you have four children, is that right?
I do. I do have two boys, two girls. The oldest is 7 years old. He'll be 8 in July, and the youngest is 6 months. So you know, I started kind of late with children, and
trying to catch up now.
Well, you know, we're done.
You're done.
Yes,
okay.
We're done.
All right.
I don't know that I can handle any more, and I certainly don't think my wife at this point can handle any more. She said, you know, had we been married, you know, when we were younger, we might have 6 or 7 kids running around the house. But you know, I'm not real sure that I can handle that any younger either. But they're certainly a joy.
Absolutely. Now you are running for solicitor's office. You have indicated that you feel that there are some problems here in the solicitor's office.
I do. And being in the solicitor's office, you notice it a little bit. Obviously, there's some strife with law enforcement when you're there. I thought the morale in the office was not that good. Had some real questions there. When you come out of the office, when you leave the office, I think people feel free to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you a little bit more how they feel about the solicitor's office. Since I left the solicitor's office, people have gotten very vocal with me on several problems. Law enforcement definitely has told me that the communication, the relationship between the solicitor's office and law enforcement is not there. And that's certainly something you have
to
ask.
In what regard, though?
Well, they just don't communicate with each other, honestly. The solicitor's office kind of takes the attitude sometimes that, you know, well, we're the solicitor's office. We're going to deal with these cases any way we see fit, and if you don't like it, well, I'm sorry about that. And that's not the proper way. You can't deal with law enforcement officers in that respect and expect them to work with you on a daily basis to get these cases tried.
Is it a problem with communication? Is it a problem with the fact that so many cases end up pleading out because the criminal, for lack of a better way to say it, the defendant wants to plead out? Or what exactly do you mean by that, Ben?
Well, I think it's the attitude of the solicitor's office. And when I say the attitude of the solicitor's office, I'm talking about the leadership in the solicitor's office. And that leadership portrayed down on how we will handle cases or how cases should be handled. And that really did not engender a good working relationship with the individual police officers. In the 13th Circuit, when I was up there, we had officer input forms that the officer would, you know, write down what they thought should be done with cases. And we oftentimes would do exactly that. We do our best to do that. The 13th Circuit, the 8th Circuit, excuse me, when I joined that, didn't have officer input forms. They have officer input forms now.
So that's something that's actually been corrected? Or are you talking
about but the officers, you know, in dealing with some of the officers, they don't even care to fill out the form because they say, it doesn't matter what I put on this form, you're going to do whatever you want to anyway. So what's the purpose of me filling out with form? And when your officers have that kind of attitude that the solicitor's office is going to do whatever they want to anyway, that really is not the good working relationship you need with them. We also need to spend time with those officers. We don't, you know, I've always advocated ride-alongs. When I was with the 13th Circuit, that's one thing Solicitor Ariel said. You need to do ride-along with these officers to see what they do on a daily basis, to see what their life is. Because I think the public's perception of an officer is that they're just out there, you know, doing police work. And as I've told a lot of these police officers, you know, they're kind of social workers because they go do home welfare checks, check on elderly folks. They go around talking to kids at school to see what problems are they're having at school. You know, I did a ride-along when I was with the 13th Circuit, and that night I think we really worked one crime. The rest of the time we were just kind of checking on people to make sure they were okay. And we went from...
Were you doing bed checks there?
We weren't really doing bed checks, but, you know...
Home in bed where you're supposed to be?
The first one was, you know, an elderly man. We went to his house, and the officer... was very familiar with him, and every so often would go by to check on him, make sure that he was okay, make sure that, you know, he was eating right.
Well, I know that one of the things that Sheriff Tony Davis started was the beats where they would be in the community that they're actually serving, and
right. Actually
did walk for our sheriffs, walk some around the different areas so they could get to know the people.
You know, being in a, I think that's probably a good idea if you're in a more urban setting. Now, being in a rural setting like the 8th Circuit is, I don't know that you necessarily need to walk those beats, but I certainly think the people in the different communities need to see you in your cars coming through and be aware that you're there. And it's, like I say, as a solicitors, we need to be aware of what those police officers are doing. Mm-hmm. We need to know the drama, for lack of better terms, of their day-to-day routine, so we can feel that empathy and understand with them and communicate with them better instead of looking at a sheet of paper when it comes into the office and say, you know, what was this officer doing when he did this? This doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And that relationship's not there. And until you have that relationship where you feel free to pick up that phone and say, you know, call that individual officer and say, yeah, I'm looking at your report and I'm not real sure about this. Can you give me a little more input? When you develop that relationship, I think that goes a long way to helping you not only in the courtroom but also in the community. And we have officers. Abbeville County is a poor county. Mm-hmm. And working with those officers over there, very fine officers. Mm-hmm. They want to do their best. They don't have the money oftentimes for training. And I think as a solicitor's office, there's oftentimes some money we might be able to provide to them for training or set up the training ourselves and say, come on over, we've got the training set up. We're going to talk about whatever today. We're going to talk about CDV today. We're going to talk about search warrants today. We're going to do this. So we can provide those training to those officers so they become a more proficient officer. And so our cases are better when we go to court. They're stronger. We have that better relationship. And so we walk, I don't want to say hand in hand with the officers, but certainly side by side with the officers so that they know that when their cases come up that we're going to be fully supportive, and they also know on the same token, if they have a bad case, we're going to call them up and say, I'm not real sure about this case. Unless you have something, we need to sit down and talk about it and see if this can be fixed or whether we just honestly have to sit down and dismiss this case because there's nothing we can do about it because of whatever problem we have.
Now, when you worked cases here in Greenwood or Abbeville, Newberry, when you were working, one of the things that I understand is there is a pretty heavy caseload on our attorneys.
There is a heavy caseload. I think the solicitor piece goes around saying that each attorney carries about 600 cases a year or constantly, I guess is more appropriate.
That's a lot of cases. How many did you actually work when you were in the office?
Well, I believe a solicitor piece at the meeting last week we had here in Greenwood indicated to the audience that I handled 762 cases in the 3 years I was there. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't dispute those numbers. All I can say is those were the cases that were assigned to me, and I handled the cases that were assigned to me. And I didn't handle the assigning of cases. The deputy solicitor who was above me when I was in Lawrence and Newberry assigned cases with the input of the solicitor. And then when I was over in Abbeville as a deputy, I assigned cases certainly with the input of the solicitor because he always wanted to know what cases were going on. So he knew what cases were being assigned and when they were being assigned. So, I mean, even that number is a huge number. And as we discussed earlier, sometimes you got cases and you say, well, God, I got 600 cases, but it turns out that you have one guy, and that one guy may have 15 cases. He may have 20 cases. In one instance, I know of a guy who had 40 cases.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that, generally you resolve one case, you're resolving 40 cases at a shot. And that's what happened in that particular case. We resolved all 40 cases at one shot. So you say, well, you know, that's pretty good. I got 600 cases, but I just got rid of 40 there. One of the frustrating parts of it is, or being assistant solicitor, is crime doesn't seem to go down. It always seems to go up. And because of that, you work 50 cases, and the next time you come to court, you got 75 new cases assigned to you. So it's a never-ending flow.
Do you get faster at it, though, the more you work them?
I don't know that you do or not. I mean, I just wonder. You still have to sit down and read the incident reports, and you have to read all those reports and make sure that everything's in from SLED, from all the other agencies that you actually need in that file. So I don't know that there's any way to get any faster unless you become maybe a speed reader or something in the process.
Yeah.
You still have to evaluate each case.
Exactly. All right. Well, we are here with Ben Sheely. Hey, if you've got a question for Ben, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We are going to hear South Carolina news and a word from our sponsors. Don't you go away. We're talking with Ben Sheely, who wants to be the Eighth Circuit solicitor. So don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Right back here with Ben Sheely. He wants to be the solicitor for the Eighth Circuit, and he is in a primary coming up on June 12th. Not much more time, is there?
Well, I actually don't have a primary.
You don't have a primary, okay.
Right. I'm running on the Democratic ticket, and I was, with the problem they had in Columbia and bouncing some folks off the ticket, my opponent was removed from the ticket, and so therefore I don't have any primary opposition. That one reason you don't see as many signs of mine out yet because I don't have
you're
to worry
holding
about,
back.
I don't have those, you know, I guess 14 days, 15 days till we have the primary.
Sure.
You know, Mr. Stumbo and Mr. Peace will face off in the Republican primary on the 12th.
Right.
So
okay.
I just kind of have to sit back and see who comes out of that one and go against them.
And then be prepared. Is that
yes,
what you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So is this the first time you've run for political office?
It is. It is.
And how have you found this experience?
Well, you know, the most joyful thing I've found about it is just meeting people and talking to people that I generally, you know, would not go out and talk to. I don't want to say I'm fairly introverted because once you get to know me, I'll talk your ears off. But I am fairly introverted, and so I don't go out and meet a lot of people. And this process forces you to get out there and meet people and shake hands and talk to people and listen to their problems, listen to their issues. So that's been very, very, I don't say exciting for me, but very fun for me
mm-hmm.
to do. The other stuff where your schedule is not yours anymore, You may get a phone call today and say, hey, guess what? There's a thing going on tomorrow. We're here, and you got to drop everything there, and you got to prepare to be in that event.
Sure.
You know, this past weekend, I was at the Catfish Festival over in Ware Shoals, which was a blast, other than the fact it was very, very hot.
Right.
Then I had another event over in Newberry I had to go to. The weekend prior to that, I was over in Calhoun Falls for their community yard sale.
The huge yard sale, right.
And then I had to...
You were at the stump the other night.
I was at the stump the other night, and I'm trying to think where I had to go to after Calhoun Falls. They had a little community festival in Newberry over in Helena. I went to that festival. So your schedule doesn't become your own anymore, and you're kind of bouncing from place to place, and that's a little bit trying and a little bit tiring at times. But it's been a, you know, overall, I would say it's been a plus and not a minus.
Okay. Well, I'm interested. If you're an introvert, then how do you work with clients?
Well, you know, it's when I go home, I guess when I go home, I get quiet.
Okay.
Maybe that's the best way to put it. I don't, my wife and I will often sit and watch these programs, these House Hunter International or different programs you see on television, on, you know, HTV or whatever the channel happens to be. And almost every time these folks say, well, this is a great place for entertaining. Well, this would be wonderful entertaining. All that about entertaining. I mean, my wife and I are, you know, these people sure do entertain a lot. You know, you and I must have been missing out on this entertainment stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we don't entertain a lot. I was just, you know, we're both kind of calm. We're kind of homebodies, and that's where we are. But like I said, you know, if fortunately or unfortunately, once you get to know me, I'll talk your ears off, and I'm more than happy to talk to clients. I'll sit and talk to clients probably longer than they want to talk sometimes.
Okay. All right.
I just enjoy talking to folks.
All right. Now, we were talking about how you view the Eighth Circuit Solicitor's Office. You say, number one, that there's not enough victim advocacy with their communication with victims. Is that what you're saying is one of the problems?
That is one of the problems. And, you know, they have two wonderful victims advocates in the office. I think, as you say...
You told me when you were in the office, though, you thought they were doing a good job.
I did. I thought they were doing an excellent job. Didn't have any complaints, really, that I was aware of, was made aware of. They would, you know, always be on the phone, calling people, going over their forms, sending out mail, talking to people, trying to get a hold of them to make sure that they're there. When I say we have two wonderful victims advocates in the office, that's not right. We have two in general sessions. We also have, there's one... or DJJ, but when I was in the office, yes, I thought it was everything was going around hunky-dory.
And then?
When I left the office, people began talking to me, and when I started talking to law enforcement heads, one of their biggest complaints was, you know, Ben, our victims aren't getting notified of stuff. I'm getting calls all the time from victims saying, you know, what's the status of my case? And then I go check the case, and the case has been dismissed, and then I have to go back and explain to the victim why their case has been dismissed. Because I didn't know it was dismissed, and the victim didn't know it was dismissed. And I heard that not from one head of law enforcement agency, but almost every law enforcement head I talked to. And that really surprised me.
You heard that from Tony Davis, from Brooks?
I heard that from, like I say, the heads of almost every law enforcement agency I talked to. There were a couple that they made no comment on things like that. But... they indicated, you know, this is a big problem. Our victims are not getting handled in the way they should be.
So what would be the solution?
Well, I think simply you have to add more victims advocates. I think.
Oh,
do we have
a budget for that?
I think we do. I think
How would you put the budget together, since all I hear is that there's not a lot of money. There's not going to be more coming out of Columbia, I don't believe.
Well, I certainly think we have to look at salaries in the office. We have to see if everybody is being, I don't want to say paid correctly, but we have to see where's our big bang for the buck. I tell people all the time that the two groups of people that I need to please the most are law enforcement and victims, because those are the people that associate with the solicitor's office on a day-to-day basis. And if we can please those people, we've done wonderful. And so
how would you do this?
Well, I think you have to add more victims advocates. I think
How many would you need?
Well, right now we have two victims advocates in general sessions court.
Is that for the whole area?
Right. We have one gentleman that handles Lawrence and Newberry, and we have a lady that handles Greenwood and Abbeville.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, you know, we've talked about the number of cases each solicitor handles.
Sure.
You just kind of multiply that by the number of cases that the victim's advocates handle. And it becomes an overwhelming task that I probably was not aware of when I was in the office. So I think you really have to have individuals in each county that can be specific to that county and know that county and say, okay, I know where these people live. I know, you know, on a daily basis. And you may not be able to do that so well in Greenwood County or Lawrence County.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably can with folks that live there, have lived there all their lives. But I know in Abbeville and Newberry County, the size of the counties, you know, I often say in Newberry County, if something happens to me, you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning by lunchtime, the whole county is going to know.
Sure.
So
that's the joy of living in a small town.
It is. It is. And I think if we have victims' advocates who are in each county and have that kind of built-in relationship, then we don't have victims that are getting left by the side or victims we can't contact.
Then where would the money come from? You're saying that how would you do that within the solicitor's office?
I think we just have to adjust the budget. I mean, quite honestly, we have to look at how people are getting paid. I think, honestly, some people are not getting paid enough. Some people are probably getting paid too much. You also forget that we have funds such that come in the office like PTI funds.
Mm-hmm.
They're used at the solicitor's discretion.
Mm-hmm.
We have AEP funds that are at the solicitor's discretion. Well, these discretionary funds can be used to hire people. They can be used to fund those new jobs, and there may be some jobs.
Would they be consistent enough, though, to be able to keep a person?
Oh, certainly, certainly. Yeah, those programs are big programs within the office, within the circuit, within every circuit in the state.
Okay.
I think they're very important. We also have the bad check program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's interesting about that program, it's my understanding that when Jerry hired Phil, he said, okay, you got to do enough work to pay your salary.
Yeah.
And so I don't think Phil's ever, you know, not gotten paid, to the best of my knowledge. So there are ways to do it. Now, victims advocate, that's not really effective to do it, but I think you can use discretionary funds on those positions.
Discretionary funds could be used, is what you're saying. Now, what about, you made an interesting comment about adjusting people's pay. Are you saying that we have some that are making more and some that are making less, and you'd want to equalize that out more?
Well, I think you have to have a standard, almost a scale. Coming from the military, we had scales. You knew what you were going to get paid. 2 years later, you knew what you were going to get paid. And 2 years later, you knew what you were going to get. Everybody knew what the salary was for those positions. I think that's something you can do in the solicitor's office also. You can come in and say, a starting attorney makes this much money.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been with the office for 2 years and you've done a good job, then your salary is going to go up by this much.
Okay.
And just do that progressively. That's not being done right now, and I think we have kind of willy-nilly salaries that are kind of set at the solicitor's discretion, where some probably are not getting paid what they're worth, and others may be getting paid more than they're worth. As far as when I say more than they're worth, I mean bang for the buck. What are they doing for the solicitor's office? What are they doing for the community?
And what about the office, the staff in the office?
You
were telling me that you thought maybe that should be some changes there.
Well, I think there's some positions that really aren't needed, and those can be shifted to other, that money can be shifted to other places. You can open that position and say, okay, instead of spending, you know, $50,000-$60,000 on this position, we can come in and spend $35,000-$40,000 on that position to make, you know, one job, and then we have this money and add discretionary funds to it to add another office. So you add two positions there out of that one position who's really, like I say, not getting you any bang for your buck. It's just kind of wasted money and wasted time. The staff over there at the solicitor's office, many of them working very, very hard. They're great people over there.
Mm-hmm.
By the same token, just as with any office, have some folks that probably aren't pulling their weight.
So if you came into the office there, you'd be looking all this stuff over.
Well, I think you have to. I think you have to come in and as a person who's taking over any new position such as that, I think you have to be aware of where that money's going. Is it being wisely spent? Mm-hmm. If it's not being wisely spent, then obviously you're accountable to the taxpayers.
Sure.
Because taxpayers come up and say, well, you know, why are you spending these kind of funds?
Sure.
And you're not getting anything for them. So I think you really have to do a top-to-bottom review of everything in that office, where the money's getting spent, and say, yay or nay. You know,
sure.
We're not doing that anymore, or you know, maybe that's something we need to do more of because that helps the community and as opposed
sure.
to helping us.
Now, let's see. Other issues that you think need to be addressed. The relationship, you're saying, between law enforcement and the solicitor's office. How would you go about changing that?
I think there has to be a conscious effort to talk with the individual officers. Obviously, we talk to the head guys all the time and the second in command all the time, and they're aware of us, and we have good communications with those guys. But the individual officer who on the street, you know, that communication may not be there.
Is that the job of the solicitor, or would that be the job of the different, are they all solicitors, all the attorneys in the public defender's office to work with the police officers who prosecuted or, you know, picked up the individual? I'm not much of a law enforcement person here, but...
Well, you know, you have obviously the public defenders who handle all the defense work for indigent defense, and then you have the solicitor in his office of deputy solicitors and assistant solicitors. When you go in there, I think it's the leadership. You have to engender that environment within the office. And if you come down and you tell your assistant solicitors, hey, look, we got to go out and talk to these guys. You can't just sit in the office every day and get those reports and look over those reports and just thumb through them without developing a relationship with these folks that you're with on a daily basis. If you're assigned to Greenwood County and that's your only county, guess what? You should know all these officers pretty well so that you can talk to them any day. Same with Lawrence County, Abbeville County,
okay.
and Newberry County.
So you're saying that doesn't happen?
I don't think it happens enough.
It doesn't happen enough.
And I don't think the solicitor himself promotes that. You know, I think he promotes, you know, talking to the big guys, but not the individual officers, not developing that relationship. And it shows over time. You know, oftentimes that's one of my comments wherever we are in meetings. And I think in one particular meeting we were at, the solicitor said, well, we have a strife with law enforcement. Now, you shouldn't have strife with law enforcement. I mean, that's silly for a
solicitor. So you're telling me Jerry P. said we had strife with law enforcement?
Well, I'd basically use the term, we have a bad relationship with law enforcement.
Okay.
And I think he came back and used the term strife. You know, there's always strife between the solicitor's office and the law enforcement for various reasons. And I don't think you can have strife. You know,
no,
because
it should be on the same team.
Right. If you have strife, you need to sit down and figure out where that strife's coming from.
Okay.
But I think, you know, not only talking to officers, encouraging ride along with the officers, encouraging those assistant solicitors to get out and see what the officers are doing on a daily basis. So they develop a better understanding, you know. And those, you know, victims' rights and working with law enforcement are two of the big things. Other things we have to do is spend time with our assistant solicitors, training them, because oftentimes these attorneys are fresh out of law school. As you said, they want to join the solicitor's office because I get trial experience.
Sure.
Well, it's a scary thing for somebody to come in, all right, go try this case. And they're not sitting there with you helping you. They're not doing anything. They're just kind of throwing you to the wolves, and that's can be a frightening experience for a lot of people.
Aren't so in the Eighth Circuit? Haven't most of those attorneys? Most of them have been there several years. I mean, we're not talking about brand new attorneys at this moment. I don't believe in the solicitor's office.
Well, we have attorneys that have been there
right.
various degrees of time,
right.
1 year, 2 years, probably
right.
up to, you know. Well, I think if you look at Tim Wolfson, Tim's probably been there a long time.
He's been there a long time.
Tim's a wonderful guy, and, you know, certainly doesn't need any training. Tim does a super job in his area, what he does, and can't say enough good about Tim.
He's over there in Abbeville where you were.
Well,
is he still in Abbeville?
I don't know what Tim's doing right now. He,
okay.
You know, when I left the office, he was handling treatments and things like of that nature. I think he's probably maybe handling some DUI court again to a great deal.
Now, that brings up another thing, drug court and these things. What do you think about what's been done with those?
Well, drug court is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
in the 13th Circuit worked pretty well.
Okay, that's in Greenville. We're talking Greenville
right,
now. Okay.
In the 8th Circuit, when it was established, I was there when in the office when drug court got established, and it was decided that all your other counties had to come to Greenwood for their classes and all that. And that's not efficient. You can't do that. You can't tell a guy from Newberry, guess what, if you want to go into drug court, we have classes 5 days a week, and you have to drive from Newberry to Greenwood, and if you miss a class, we're going to bounce you out of the class, we're going to bounce you out of the program, and you've already pled guilty, so you're going to jail. Those guys may not get off of work, you know, until 5, may not be able to make it here by the prescribed time every time. So if you're going to do drug court, you're going to have to structure it a little better. And it can work. It can work. And the design for that is to really work with folks that are plagued by drugs. And that
Absolutely.
Plague, you know, and it doesn't, you know, a lot of people don't understand that drug court not only deals with people with drug charges, but deals with people who have charges that come out of drugs, i.e., you broke into a house because you were looking for drug money to go buy.
So overall, the program could be expanded if there was money available to expand it.
I think if it was run differently, it could do a good job. I don't know that you need a whole lot more money. You could use a little bit more money, but I don't know if you need a whole lot more money to make it a little more efficient.
Because Judge Addy does his service pro bono, I believe.
As far as I know, he does, yeah.
And so that leaves the court itself and the running of the program, the actual running of the program.
Right. And I think you have to get there again into individual counties. I don't think you can say, okay, we're going to have drug court and it's going to be here in Greenwood, and if you want to be in drug court, you got to come from those outside counties into Greenwood. You know, now Abbeville may not be so difficult to get over here to Greenwood, but putting that requirements on Newberry and Lawrence, that's, you know, a 45-minute drive or longer. Depending on where the folks live in the county, could be prohibitive to allowing them to successfully complete drug court.
Okay. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left, Ben, and we've been talking about all the issues that are out there, I think. Is there an issue that we've missed that you'd like to address?
Well, I think a couple things we touched on. I don't know if we really went in depth. When those new assistant solicitors come in, and even those that have been there a while and haven't had the training, haven't had somebody to sit with them and say, okay, this is what we need to do on a trial. This is how we need to put this trial together. This is how we need to go from file to finished. Somebody needs to do that. We have to have better training of those assistant solicitors when they come in the office. That will be a great benefit to the winning of cases. Oftentimes you'll hear Mr. Stumbo when he's out on the stump saying, we're the only circuit in the state that has lost more cases than we've won at trial. And that's just absurd. I think anybody would agree that that's absurd. And I think under Solicitor Jones, I think we were probably top one, two, or three in the state consistently with the number of wins. And to go from that to being the lowest in the state, well, that's an issue.
Is that a verified fact?
Well,
is it a verified fact?
Mr. Stumbo puts those out there. I'm only going by what Mr. Stumbo says. He says he's looked at the facts. I haven't done that in-depth research. I'm just saying, if taking what he says is true, if that is in the fact, and I don't, you know, in the comments, I haven't heard Solicitor Peace rebuff any of those comments. And I think we have to do effective evaluation of cases. As we talked a little bit earlier, when a case comes in, you really have to scour that case and say, hey, do we have a problem with that case? Is there something we can fix? Is it not, or does it disappear? If we develop a better relationship with law enforcement, like I said, we can call those law enforcement officers up and say, you know, hey, Tom, I've got a problem with your case. I'm reviewing it, and I don't have A, B, or C in the file that should be here. I maybe not have a drug report. I may not have this report. What about it? And, you know, while if we didn't have that relationship, we might, as sometimes is done, just take that case and say, well, that's not there, or this is not there, let's just dismiss the case. Where you have that relationship, you pick up.
So you're telling me that cases here in the 8th District, 8th Circuit, get dismissed rather than find the information?
I think oftentimes they do, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And you have that relationship, you can pick up the phone and say, hey, this is not in the file, where is it? And lo and behold, you know, they produce it. You know, working on the defense side, as you said earlier, one thing you find is when when they send you the Rule 5, or that's discovery, what they send defense attorneys so we can advise our clients, you'll go through the file and you'll read the file and you'll suddenly say, well, this is not in the file. You know, it clearly says that an interview was done and I don't have a copy of the interview, or it says, I think most recently I had one where it says a sketch was done by SLED and there's no sketch in the file. Mm-hmm. You know, you have things like that. If you have the relationship, you pick up the phone and say, I'm looking at the report and there's no sketch in the file. You got it or not. And that solves itself 9 times out of 10 if you've got the relationship.
It seems kind of hard to believe that you wouldn't have that relationship with your people, your law enforcement, because after all, that's going to make your case or not make your case, one or the other.
Exactly. And you have to engender that relationship. Without that, I mean, a lot is lost. A lot is lost because the officers don't develop that trust in the solicitor. And when I say the solicitor, I'm using that term generically for the solicitor and the assistant solicitors. They don't develop that trust in the solicitor, and the solicitor doesn't develop that trust in the officer. And without that trust there, you just can't move forward. With that trust there, you can go leaps and bounds, and you can improve the system greatly.
All right. Well, we are here with Ben Sheely. He's not in the primary. He will be on the ballot in November 6th, to be exact. We probably will be having you back closer to that date. But I'm going to give you 2 minutes to tell the world what you'd like them to know right here today, Ben Sheely. We've talked about a lot of issues, and I certainly appreciate you coming in today.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of it in 2 minutes. That goes real fast. I found out the other night at Stump Speech, those lights change colors very quickly. I've 17 years as an attorney. I've prosecuted 8 of those years. I've prosecuted not only in the 8th Circuit, but I've also prosecuted in the 13th Circuit. I've prosecuted under Solicitor Jones. I've prosecuted under Jerry Peace. I know the systems. I know the office. I know what needs to be changed. I know what needs to be corrected. And I think I'm certainly the best choice for Solicitor come November. I appreciate the time you've given me today, and just had a wonderful time. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you. We have been here today with Ben Sheely. As I said, he is running for the 8th Circuit Solicitor's Office in November. He'll be on the ballot in November. Thanks so much. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I'll be back in just a few with Happy Hour. Don't you go away.